Egypt is one of the most important countries in the Muslim world. It can be considered the intellectual power engine of the Muslims, not only because Al-Azhar is there, but because Egypt has produced a great many intellectuals and scholars. In fact, after the abolition of the Khilafah, which was abolished in March of 1924, it was in Egypt that the first Islamic movement emerged in 1928, led by Ustad Hassan al-Banna. Now, Hassan al-Banna was an ordinary teacher in school, and yet he had the foresight and the wisdom to understand and appreciate that Muslims had lost something valuable with the abolition of the Khilafah. And he established what is referred to as the Ikhwan al-Muslimin, or the Muslim Brotherhood. Initially, the Ikhwan were a social movement that provided social services to the people in Egypt, but very soon it was sucked into the maelstrom of politics in Egypt, especially around the time when the Free Officers' coup took place against the monarchy in Egypt. The Ikhwan were actually inducted into the Free Officers' coup. They were used, their contacts and connections were used, and then once the Free Officers came to power and came to take full control of the country, particularly Jamal Abdel Nasser, then he turned against the Ikhwan al-Muslimin. Ustad Hassan al-Banna had already been assassinated in 1941, but then other people in the Ikhwan came to the fore, among them people like Sayyid Qutb, a very great scholar and intellectual who wrote some excellent books about the Islamic movement, about the tafsir of the Quran and so on. And he had a very powerful influence on the people of Egypt. After the death of Jamal Abdel Nasser in September of 1970, Anwar Sadat, one of his vice presidents, took over. And it was Sadat that then moved Egypt completely into the American-Israeli orbit, with Sadat's November 1977 visit to Jerusalem, and then the signing of the agreement at Camp David in March of 1978. In October 1981, Sadat was killed by his own military officers because they felt that he had betrayed the interests of the Egyptians as well as the Muslim world by signing a treaty of surrender with the Israeli Zionists and occupiers of Palestine. As soon as Sadat was out of the way, Hosni Mubarak, one of his vice presidents, took over and a state of emergency was declared in Egypt. And Hosni Mubarak has continued to rule through a state of emergency since 1981 to the present time. And this state of emergency is renewed every 6 months. One is at a loss to figure out exactly what the emergency is in Egypt. Yet it is obvious that this emergency is useful for Hosni Mubarak and his minions because they can keep the people of Egypt under control. There have been several attempts in Egypt to try to open up the system, but without any success. Further, the Egyptians are now so completely aligned with the Americans and the Zionists that they played a very disgraceful role in supporting the Israelis during their onslaught on Gaza that was launched on December the 27th and lasted until January the 18th, in which the Israelis murdered more than 1,370 innocent Palestinian civilians and more than 5,000 were badly injured. So we can see the role that the Egyptians have played through the money that or the bribes that the Americans are paying them, that they have actually stabbed the Palestinian people in the back. They have frustrated the aspirations of the Muslim Ummah. They have frustrated the intellectual potential of the people of Egypt, and thereby subverting the movement and growth of the Islamic movement in the world. And for this, the entire responsibility lies on people like Hosni Mubarak. One other point that needs to be borne in mind, and that is that in Egypt they have periodic elections, not only for the assembly, the parliament, but also for the president. And no opponents are allowed to stand against Hosni Mubarak. In fact, the last time that there was a presidential election, the person who stood against Mubarak was immediately arrested after the elections and thrown in jail. So you can see that if you stand against the incumbent, you end up in jail in Egypt. And yet that is the kind of system that the Americans and the West support, because Hosni Mubarak is their client and their stooge, and so they have nothing against him. If a similar policy were pursued by, let's say, the Islamic Republic of Iran, there would be immediate hue and cry, and it would be denounced as a dictatorship. But when the Egyptian pharaoh does it, Hosni Mubarak does it, or any of America's other clients do it, then that's perfectly okay. And Mubarak is allowed to remain in power. He's financed by the Americans so that he can be kept out of this resistance to the Zionist occupiers of Palestine. So the lesson for Muslims are clear. we need to understand the precise history of these rulers that are in the Muslim world. Number two, this hand of the Islamic movement needs to be strengthened, and that these rulers have to be overthrown and removed so that the people can establish governments that are responsive to their needs and that are elected through the free will of the people. The likes of Mubarak or King Abdullah of Saudi Arabia or other local potentates and tyrants and sheikhs are not the answer to the problems of the Muslim world.